Hello, friends, and Happy New Year, everyone. This is the first show of 2016 of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, and I promise that we'll have a very special show today to start off the new year. Out of This World Radio focuses on out-of-this-world information, including psychic phenomena, UFOs, metaphysics, and predictions for the coming years in Seattle, the United States, and beyond. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and to make this planet a far better and much happier place. And I know that with everyone's help, we'll make this planet a much better place. Out of This World Radio is the fastest growing spiritual, psychic, and UFO radio program in the world, with listeners in over 60 countries. And I really want to thank everyone around the world for their wonderful support. To my listeners in Japan, I say good morning and Ohio gozaimasu. I think that's right for good morning. And to my listeners across the French Canada and France, bonjour. And to my listeners in Germany, Österreich, and Switzerland, guten Abend, and hola and ciao, and for those of you around the rest of the world. Last week, I had a wonderful week as the keynote speaker for a spiritual conference in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, where I channeled messages from Professor Albert Einstein and U.S. President John F. Kennedy, as well as wonderful other great spirits. And on my way back to Seattle yesterday, my friends drove me to what they said was the world's most beautiful beach called Siesta Key. It's about an hour south of Tampa, Florida. Siesta Key is very unique. It's the only crystalline beach in the world, and the sand itself is bleach white and powdered like sugar. And my friends tell me that the crystals on the beach were actually from Atlantis, and they were placed there when Atlantis destroyed itself roughly 12,500 years ago. They tell me that the crystals were placed there with love by the survivors of Atlantis, so the sand crystals on the beach now give off love. And when you're on the beach at this Siesta Key, you can actually feel the love coming from the sand. It was an amazing experience, and I felt so good to be there. During the first hour today, from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m., we'll be interviewing Vernon Masayeshva, the executive director of the Black Mesa Trust, a Hopi leader of the Coyote Clan, and a former chairman of the Hopi Tribal Council. Joining him in the interview will be Jerry Honau, a Hopi elder and shaman from the Tobacco Rabbit Clan, who will be discussing Hopi's prophecies for the new year and his perspective on world events and what we should be doing to make this world a better place. During the second hour, from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m., we'll be interviewing Reverend Marion Joan Handy, who's an amazing minister, psychic, and spiritual counselor in the Fort Lauderdale, Florida area. She specializes in harmonizing mind, body, spirit, and emotions in both personal and business relations. We'll be talking about the miracle healings of Jhana God and the Ho'oponopono by Dr. Hugh Lin. Her website is www.cosmiccoachingforyou.com. She's really fascinating, and I know you'll really enjoy what she'll have to say. Before we start, I'd like to thank everyone for their wonderful support, especially the Crystal Voyage Bookstore in Tacoma, Orion Tech Computers in Bend, Oregon, and the wonderful sponsors of this show, including my friends, dear friend Carol's been designing my website, dear friend Ann Nelson, who helped me start my program, and my dear friend Michiko Hayashi, as well as Hiro Emoto, Mrs. Emoto, and Dr. Yasuo Nemoto of the Emoto Peace Project Emoto office in Tokyo, as well as my friends in the Galactic Alliance who've been supporting my show, my angelic and earthly family, as well as my wonderful sound engineers, Rachel, Eric, and my station manager, Eric Crema, without whose help this program would not have been possible. I wanted to tell everyone briefly I've started a new spiritual monitoring program. If you're interested in that, I'd be happy to teach people how to get in contact with those who've passed on the other side. My email address is outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, and I can be reached as well on my toll-free number in the United States and Canada at 1-888-879-8339. Out of This World Radio is supported entirely by donations, and for those who'd like to donate, please go to the Donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com and just click on it. We're also looking for advertisers and sponsors, and any advertising on the show would have a worldwide audience for your goods and services. I also have a new column on my webpage called Ask Ted. When you click on the website at www.outofthisworld1150.com, go to About Us, and then on the right side, you'll see the little tab for Ask Ted for free spiritual help. You can also listen to the show live on the internet from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Pacific time at www.1150kknw.com, or after the show at outofthisworld1150.com and clicking on our guests. Briefly, before we go to our guests, I'd like to tell you of some upcoming events. On January 16, 2016, I'll be giving readings at the Lavender Massage business in Friday Harbor, Washington, all day from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. On January 17th and also the 18th, I'll be in Vancouver giving presentations for the Emoto Peace Project. For more information, you can please go to my website at www.outofthisworld1150.com, and you can look at more information. For those in Finland, I will be speaking at a spiritual conference with some of the world's greatest spiritual people on the future of humanity in Helsinki on May 12th, 13th, 14th, and 15th. The conference will be held at the Hotel Korpeli in Espoo, just outside Helsinki. The website for the venue is www.korpilampi.fi. For more information, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Then from June 10th through the 13th, I'll be having my second annual Galactic Wisdom Conference in Olympia, Washington, just off exit 114 on Interstate 5. We'll have some amazing people there, and if you'd like more details, please go to our website. In August 19th, 20th, and 21st, I'll be a keynote speaker at a worldwide spiritual conference in the Dominican Republic. For more information, please go to my website. And finally, on August 25th, 2016, I'll be taking a group of up to 20 people to see John of God in Brazil. John of God is a medium who's able to contact Jesus and other higher spiritual powers to help heal almost any physical or spiritual condition. In my opinion, he's one of the world's greatest men, and I'm so honored to allow to take a group to see him. We'll be meeting in Brasilia on August 25th, and if you'd like to go or need more information, please just send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Next month, on February 14th, Valentine's Day, I'll be launching a new television program called Out of This World Television. And as more details become available, I'll be putting that on my website. But my first guest will be Michiko Hayashi of the Emoto Peace Project in Tokyo, followed by some really incredible guests, which I'm sure you'll enjoy. For a complete list of events planned for 2016, please go to my website and click on the events at the top of the page. Now let's go on to our first guest today. Vernon, are you there?
You'll be here in a second.
Okay, great. Is this Jerry, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, good. Well, we have the executive director of the Black Mesa Trust, Vernon Maseveya, and I hope he... how do you pronounce that? I'm sorry?
Maseveya.
Thank you. A Hopi leader of the Coyote Clan and former chairman of the Hopi Tribal Council. And I'll also be interviewing Jerry Honow, who's a Hopi elder and a shaman, from a very spiritual man from the Tobacco Clan. We'll be discussing their perspective on world events and what humanity has in store for itself and what we do to make this a better planet. Jerry, I'd love to start with you. What kind of work do you do in your work with the Hopi?
First of all, I am not considered a shaman. I'm just a knowledgeable person. I am a retired educator.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah. I've worked the school system for a number of years, and other things I did was being a chairman for another tribe for 12 years. So my knowledge basically came from all of those directions. You know, some people taught me different ways of maintaining and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But when I grew up with my grandfather, like Vernon said, and when I used to sit in the kiva with him, and his peers would come, and they would sit there and talk about all of these things that are expected. Everything that's happening now is expected. It's in the prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
They prophesize that, you know, like I mentioned, I believe already, that a lot of these earthly phenomena that are happening now will be a direct result of us taking too much out of Mother Earth. We're taking some of the flesh by the way of coal. We're taking too much water. That's the bloodline, you know, gas, all of that. And once we do that, and when there's a void within that earth system, then we will feel the earth shake, is what they call them. And I think they were talking about earthquake.
Right.
And then that, and then they also talk about tsunami.
Oh.
Tsunami is that it will be waters coming together at a very fast pace. So, but I think that happened already also in Japan, and we called it tsunami. It was kind of like a weird thing, because tsunami and tsunami are basically the same word.
Right.
So they knew these things would be happening. They talk about the water destructive tornadoes, is what they call it. Bahalapu, that's mm-hmm. what they call them.
Mm-hmm.
But those are the hurricanes. And the world will reverse its poles. And I believe that's already happened.
Okay. Wow.
All of these things they talk about, how they know these things, I do not know, but
right.
there were very wise people that knew all the things ahead. And then sometimes they'll say that, well, if nothing like that happens, our mountains will throw up fire. Talking about volcanoes. And then we will have the stars coming down. They will lose their grip and they will come down on us. If we don't heed and do things the way we were taught, we're taught to take everything in the right amount, not something that you're going to go and desecrate a whole 50-mile area.
Sure.
You know, to get, you know, those kind of things. We see small things that we need to dig it, cover it back up when we're done, put the offering down on it. Always got to put an offering down.
Sure.
And then this way, Mother Earth will replenish itself through that, through prayer and that activity. And this is only a small part of it. We could sit here and talk all week, probably.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing with this is that, you know, we're going through all of those things that they talk about. Everything is happening now that
right.
they talk about. So this cannot be just anything they thought up to talk about. It's something that's for real.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the way he said that, if we don't shape up, we need to start using. Now, when he was around, I had an automobile by then. So he said, you have to start walking a lot more than in that ride. That way, nothing comes out of that ride to mess up the air that we breathe.
Right.
That's what he said. So, and then that, and then everything that we do, we have to do it moderately, in the right amount, for the right things, at the right time, with respect.
I think along with that, Jerry, that Mother Earth is alive. It's a live entity.
Yes,
and
see?
She needs to be treated with respect.
Yep, she needs that.
Mm-hmm.
We can't just say that, oh, we're going to dig all this coal out simply because it's there.
Right.
You know, we have to quit somewhere.
Right.
And if we took the, they talk about the aliens, the star people. They call them the star people. They don't call them aliens.
Right.
The star people, they had a brilliant plan for us. If we took it, we would not be digging up all of these things. We would not be drilling for oil. We would not be drilling for gas or coal or anything like that, uranium, stuff like that, because that technology of theirs is one of the ones that I don't think our government is ever going to learn. That's what he said.
Right.
So taking it on that, you know, like from time to time I will have visitors, you know, from the star people.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they're sad, sometimes they're okay. But lately, most of them has been kind of confused, you know, because there's a lot of people saying, okay, we will do this, and then turn right around and not do it. And I think this is where the confusion is. But in this way, we have to be totally connected, both to the earth, to the sky people, to the water people, all of these. They knew about these things.
Sure.
So when they say that, there used to be water people, and they come up to the shore to meet him for their greetings and for their prayers and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And he was able to do all of this thing in his younger day.
Mm-hmm.
And when he left us about 10 years ago, he was 115 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Wow.
So him and his peers were, you know, all of them were pretty much in that age category, you know, and they all agree that these things are happening.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that maybe some of these things will not happen in your time, maybe in your children's time,
mm-hmm.
maybe in your grandkids' time, but mm-hmm. they never put a timeline on it.
Sure.
So, but now they're looking at things happening, so we have to do something.
Sure, absolutely.
But because if we are going to have a good world, we are the ones that's going to have to put it together.
That's true.
Yep. So this is what I had in mind to talk to whomever it was. I thought we were going to a radio station, but flew down here. I put wings on it on Vernon's truck and flew down here.
Oh, that's good. Well, if I had the budget, I would have flown you both up here to Seattle today for your interviews. But but we're using telephones as the next best thing. So
this is one of the great, great things. But yet they talk about some of the minor things, like the telephone lines coming into the reservation. And they said that pretty soon the Spider Woman's web is going to be here, and you're going to be talking on that web line to your friend hundreds of miles away.
Mm-hmm.
It's the telephone line.
Right.
And then they talk about, but pretty soon it's going to be just crisscrossing everywhere. And I feel this is what we call, what is it now? The communication system. Spider-Man's web is all over now. You know, it doesn't have to be a line going from here. It's a
right.
A signal, meaning that that's also a line.
Mm-hmm. So,
and they talk about a road being made up in the sky, and I said, how are they going to pick material up?
Sure.
But there is a road up there. Airplanes travel it.
That's true. That's true.
So they talk about all of these things. And then they said that one of these days, you're going to go visit your friend all the way in town. You're going to eat your breakfast here. You're going to get in your gourd with the wheels. Mm-hmm. You're going to get on that glass road. And then you're going to see your friend. And when evening comes, you're going to be eating supper over there.
That's Vernon, Jerry, and Vernon, I want to share something special with you.
Okay.
As you've been on the air during the last 10 minutes or so, it's been a cloudy day in Seattle, but the sun just came out a little while ago. And inside of this studio, and I'm not making this up, Jerry and Vernon, but as you've been talking, this entire studio has lit up in this beautiful white light. And those are my angel friends saying that you both are right on track with what you're saying. And I just want to thank you so much for sharing your beautiful spiritual messages today.
You're welcome. Well, let me begin again by correcting a statement you made. I am not a leader of the Kyle clan.
Okay.
I'm just a member.
All right.
I want to make that perfectly clear.
Okay.
And in his last statement, Jerry talked about the spider web and all, and the spider web, the airlines, and everything else, modern
right.
transportation. And so when I hear these things from him, mm-hmm. I begin to say, what does this mean to me in a modern context, in the world of modern physics, for example? And I'm just sharing this with you because this is the way we work together. And when he says spider web, spider woman, spider grandma, who represents intelligence,
okay,
mind. She uses two brothers, twins.
Mm-hmm.
One is the weaver, modeler, one who makes things, material things, out of the mind. The other is the communicator, the echoer, we call him, the wordsmith. And so what we're talking about is the wordsmith being the spider web, the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then you could take that further and you say, okay, now how do we run our computers?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's run with just twins,
mm-hmm,
zero and one.
Oh, interesting.
Binary numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So this explains how I
interpret,
you know, in a modern context, and hopefully to get this message to the young students to say, look, we know about all this science and technology. Long time ago, it's ancient wisdom. And we just need to understand that this is, and then he talks about the world turning upside down. Well, it's to me that represents the polar, the south and the north pole switching, mm-hmm, flipping,
mm-hmm,
over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like a spindle that Jerry uses to weave a twine for us. He used white and black twine, mm-hmm, that he weaves for us, and we give that out to the people.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows, he showed us how it's done.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says that that the North and the South Pole, the axis, have always been wobbling.
Mm-hmm.
They're not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And the plate on the spindle, he said, it's the earth. It's the belt of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, because of our abuse of the resources of our Mother Earth, from whom we all nurse, and the milk is the water,
mm-hmm,
that sustain life. All of us, without water, pure water, no life. And so, what's happening now is that the wobbling is getting too much out of control.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Jerry weaves his twine for us, he said, this is the way I understand, mm-hmm, that it is us humankind that have to keep the spindle, the axis, from completely falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we use it with a twine.
Mm-hmm.
A twine meaning you and me.
Mm-hmm.
Which means we together can save the world, bring holiness back to earth. But like Jerry said, it's got to be together. We can't just do it on our own. We all got to get together and smoke the pipe.
Mm-hmm.
Bring our hearts and minds together.
Mm-hmm.
And by doing that, we create energy. It's what Hope is saying. Energy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how Hope is survived as farmers in a desert.
Mm-hmm.
Through prayer, through their hearts and minds coming together to communicate with the ancestors, who are the cult people.
Mm-hmm.
And if our prayers are right, they reciprocate in a form of rain to water our crops. And that's how Hopis have survived here in the middle of the desert for over 1,000 years. And we're still doing it. in this really complex technological world, it's
sure.
really hard to do.
Sure,
very
absolutely.
Hard. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, this is the word I was trying to look for earlier was about the Spider-Woman's web.
Yes.
You know, it might be coincidence or whatever, but isn't that what we call the website?
Mm-hmm. Interesting. That's right. We call it the website. That's
yeah.
right. Good point. Good point.
Yeah, so these things are, you know, with those guys and their crude explanation, they make a lot of sense now.
Sure.
This
sure.
day.
Sure.
So this is why I'm able to interpret some of the things that they've said. And they talk in the real Hopi language, which is no longer spoken.
Mm-hmm.
We speak slang Hopi anymore. But
mm-hmm.
I guess I'm one of the few people that can sit down and hold a conversation using the real Hopi.
Oh, wonderful. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah. Well, here's in the prophecy, and it's written on a rock, not but a mile from where we are talking from.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Prophecy Rock.
Okay.
And it talks about the ending of the possibly the ending of what we call the fourth world.
Okay.
We came from another world, the third world. And Jerry and I believe that that's Mexico. We are children of the pyramid builders that sought refuge here because the civilization was corrupted by priests who became materially focused and became wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing we're going through now. And so that world was destined to end by water, a flood. So we sought refuge here.
Wow.
Here, the fourth world, we call the fourth world of the Hopi.
Uh-huh.
It's a long story in itself.
Mm-hmm.
But we are now at the 11th hour of the fourth world.
Wow.
It's coming to an end.
Mm-hmm.
How it's going to end, we don't really know. It could be nuclear bombs.
Mm-hmm.
It could be drought, famine, floods, whatever.
Could it?
That's the other thing they talk about. Men could self-destruct. That's what they say.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be Mother Earth and her fury that'll abolish this place.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the way they talk, and it took me a while for me to really realize exactly what they were talking, and the way we're carrying on right now, you know.
Sure.
I think the human is going to abolish itself.
Mm.
But the human can also choose not to do that. Because what we are taught is that does this have to end permanently, the way of life we know it? And the teaching is that's up to us, to you and me.
Mm-hmm.
That's up to us because we have the ability, the power to prevent that from happening, and that we can together create the fifth world, you know, on our own terms, how we want it to be, because the grandma spider has the intelligence, which we have. You and I have intelligence.
Right.
We have ability to imagine. We have ability to communicate. We have the ability to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
But it's up to humanity. It's up to us if we want
minds and hearts together, create the energy. And we are mostly water people. We are like gourds of water. And water is powerful. It cannot be destroyed. It's what I learned from Jerry and other people.
And
it is indestructible. It is merciless, and it can be merciful.
One of the...
Yeah.
Pardon me for interrupting, Jerry and Vernon, but one of the things that Dr. Emoto stated before he passed away in 2014 was that God is water, and water is God.
Yep.
And one of the things, I wanted to add this and get your comments, he said that the earth is 70% water, and humanity, humans here, we're also 70% water.
Fresh water.
Yeah, and so, and I know that you knew Dr. Emoto before he passed away.
Yep.
And I do a lot of work for the Emoto Peace Project. They do such wonderful work. But, you know, and I think you're right. Dr. Emoto's right, and you're right, too, that water is the key.
Yep. That's exactly right. It's going to be water that is going to bring it, because it already connects people, continents.
Right.
People of all races were connected through the water surface, the water, the ocean.
Right.
That was the first world, was nothing but water.
Right.
And the water serpent was the living thing. And so today we're connected to all the continents, to all the islands through water, and we're connected to the cosmos through water.
Right.
So it is the thread that binds all of us, and it's through water, the power of water, that we can bring holiness back to earth if that is our choice. Like I said, water is one element you cannot destroy. It changes shapes.
Sure.
Simply because water, no matter what form it's in, it's got its own mind, it's got its own life, and it has its own song. Is he going to entertain you, or is he going to take you away?
I wanted to tell both of you that I'm very happy to tell you that Professor Jerry Pollack of the University of Washington will be attending the conference, the spiritual conference that I'd love to have you both come to in Helsinki, Finland, May 12th, 13th, 14th, and 15th. And Professor Pollack is considered, he's a great scientist, and he's one of the world's greatest water professors, in my opinion. But he's great because he recognizes what you said. He said water has a memory, and he does a lot of research into the memory of water.
Yeah, well, we are taught when we're growing up that when a first raindrop hits you, you are to say, thank you for visiting. You thank the ancestors, the cloud people.
Wow.
Thank you for remembering us. Remembering us. And this is what we're taught. That's why we use Jerry's famous quote. I mean, we made it famous.
Mm-hmm.
When he says that every drop of water has its own song.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Uh-huh.
That is really beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Yeah, and... So water, you know, like it, we all come from water. We all come from the ocean through water. We start as water people, as humans, water people. Then we take on a physical shape. We become solid, in a sense.
Right.
Water becomes solid. And then when our journey ends, then the water turns to mist, vapor.
Right.
And then join the cloud people. We join our cloud people, our ancestors, our people. And then we rest and we come back. And we bring fresh water to the plants, to the animals.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Replenish the aquifers, mm-hmm. the lakes. We are on our journey back home to the ocean.
Wow. Wonderful.
To the rivers. So that's why we say river. And hear them, a trillion voice choir. They are your ancestors singing to you.
How beautiful. What a beautiful thought. Thank you for saying that.
Yeah, that's very true. Because, you know, like, and then the other place for a peacefulness would be your field. Because that's where all your children are, the ones you planted.
Right.
And if you're not feeling up to par, for me, that's where I go. And once I top the rise, I go, seems like they're waving at you. You know, like, you know, hey, our dad's here, you know. Mm-hmm. That kind of thing. And it makes you feel good and all your problems are gone.
Right, right. Wow. Wow.
Water is the same way, because water, like Vernon said, is one that will sing you a nice song, or I said, was that it could sing you a nice song, or it could see a destructive song, mm-hmm. either way, because it's got its own mind.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Well, we, of course, are glad to be on your show.
Thank you for being here
and sharing our hope, understanding of what the elders taught to us,
mm-hmm.
sharing it, and saying we hope that we can come together again. I think that Hopi knowledge, wisdom, which in itself is its own science.
Mm-hmm.
We practice quantum physics.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we do. Absolutely. We've been doing this for thousands of years.
Wow.
We unite with the elements, with the stars, with the creatures, birds, through our ceremonies.
And this is before Einstein.
Yeah.
Well, and, that's great.
And Einstein did visit the Hopi, but he never asked us, you know, for help in finishing his theory, so it becomes a law. And we would have told him, because you're not looking at the other side of the coin, which is human.
Yeah.
Well, let me, if I may, I. I didn't tell you this, but I am a psychic, and I have been in contact with Professor Einstein on the other side. And he's actually here right now, and he's listening very closely to what you're saying. And he's saying he regrets for not seeing you. I mean,
That was one element that was left out of his work.
Correct.
And I said, why didn't he put us in there?
Well, he's putting you in there now, believe me. He is putting you in there now. And the other thing, too, before I forget, I have been in touch with Michel de Nostradamus on the other side, and he's been. I see him in 16th century France. The date is December 8, 1540, and he's in a smoke filled room. He's got a burgundy cap on, a burgundy cape, and he's sitting. You know what he's doing? He's sitting there with a quill, and he's got a blank parchment, and all the doom and gloom quatrains about World War III and all this destructive things happening. That timeline, he said, has changed, and now we're in a much more positive future. And he's asked me this several times in the last couple of weeks, couple of months, is what are we going to do as a humanity across this planet to make this planet a much better and happier place? And so I want to tell you that sharing your spiritual words of wisdom today, he's listening, Professor Einstein's listening, and there's a lot of spirits behind the scenes who are all applauding you for your words of wisdom today.
Thank you.
Well, like you said, we do have our own science, and I categorize it as quantum mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we're at right now, and I think that we can use Hopi wisdom, modern science and technology, put them back together and use it for the right purpose, which is to serve mankind. who was the capital guardian of the earth. Our ancestors met him when they were seeking refuge.
Wow.
And so he said he only has three things to sustain his way of life, and he was a farmer in the desert.
Mm-hmm.
And he had good cornfield.
Mm-hmm.
He said, and he showed them different varieties of seeds.
Uh-huh.
A gourd of water and a planting stick. Those three.
Wow.
And that planting stick is the technology. But in the prophecy, there is a warning that maybe someday the planting stick will take a life of its own and take its own separate course.
Mm-hmm.
And we will worship the planting stick, which is science and technology.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And so we need to bring that back and rejoin that with the two other elements, seed and the fresh water. And that's, to me, how it can happen. And it can happen because, we, like you said, we're 70% water.
Right.
And water is energy.
Right.
And the scientists use Einstein's theory to create a hydrogen bomb.
That's true.
Which
that's
comes true. From water.
That's right. That's
so
absolutely.
All of us are literally hydrogen bombs. We have so much energy.
Right.
That we can combine that.
Right.
We can save the world, create the fifth world.
Right.
In a way that we want it to be for our children.
I want to tell you, Vernon and Jerry, that when you come to the conference in Finland in May, you'll be meeting one of the world's great scientists, a gentleman named Professor Irvin Laszlo. And he also has he's very interested in metaphysics, and I know he'll really enjoy talking to both of you.
Well, okay, well, we're the metaphysics. I'm the physics guy, and this guy's a meta guy.
All right, so you're the meta. That's good. That's good. That's good. Just briefly, I'd just like to announce that if you're just tuning in, this is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW here in Bellevue, Washington, the United States, at 11:50 a.m. We're having a fascinating discussion today with two wonderful gentlemen from the Hopi tribe on the prophecies and also their viewpoint for the future. Vernon and Jerry, I wanted to ask you this question. If humanity did everything right, let's say we started taking care of the planet better, living in harmony with one another, really appreciating Mother Nature so that we live in a happy and in a really beautiful planet, what kind of world do you think we'd have in 10 years, 20 years, 30 years?
Well, that will depend on our activity.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's basically going to be what it's going to turn out to be because, you know, like if we made a good world and said, oh, we made this stuff. I can do this now and go back to our old habits.
Mm-hmm.
It will not happen. But if we say that, okay, we created this world so that it will sustain us, it will keep us for a number of years.
Right.
Let's not treat it like we treat the old world and then go from there.
Right.
Well, here's the other thing, too. Is this kind of like a kind of irony or whatever you want to call it?
Mm-hmm.
The Hopis say that the first world was a perfect world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's nothing that bad in the first world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way the three characters created it. Perfect world, because that's what the Great Spirit wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the funny part. The Great Spirit liked it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And got bored.
Hmm.
Got bored. It's too perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I want drama. I want into a show, a theater, a conflict. And so the next world was created in that way. And then the third world got too out of hand, and the fourth world is now at an ending.
Mm-hmm.
So there's got to be, you know, we can't just all dream about everything absolutely perfect.
Yeah,
we'll be bored to death.
Yeah, that's
right.
What he also talked about, the elders did, was that, you know, we can't have total serenity.
Right.
There's got to be somebody to kick up a dust storm or whatever, you know.
Right, right, right.
They use little things like that, something that's out of the ordinary that, you know, is not part of your everyday life.
Right, right.
This is the way we will not only be entertained, but we have to look at one another and say, okay, why is he doing that? Let's go find out. You know, this kind of thing.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It creates a lot of those things. It's because they talk about life in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
as one people.
Right.
One people.
Right. That's
so,
absolutely.
That's when this perfect world came about. Then all of a sudden, brother, sister, you name it, they started with things like, you know, I can do this better than you. You know, I want this space because I'm bigger than you. This kind of stuff. So when he looked at them, that's when he divided all of us. So now we have our own little things. You know, there's four colors in our circle. Six, rather. there's the yellow, blue, red, white, and the maroon, and the beige. And all of these represent different groups of people. And it's represented by corn.
Uh-huh. Wow.
So this is how we identify that, yes, this blue corn is my brother because I am the red corn. You know? That kind of stuff.
Right. And in Hopi, we're very comical people, humorous.
Mm-hmm.
We have clowning, and we play with words, make
mm-hmm.
fun of each other's, and
mm-hmm.
we're very humorous people, I'm finding out,
uh-huh.
and there's a reason for that,
okay.
for that kind of humor, and so people think Hopis are so serious that they can't be funny, you know. But we are.
Mm-hmm.
We use jokes a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Metaphors.
Mm-hmm.
A lot.
Mm-hmm.
Not only to entertain, but to get the communication to express our understanding of whatever we want to understand or explain. Jerry has a good one about the Garden of Eden, the Adam and Eve. Can you tell him that?
Oh, yes. This is an all-adult audience, I hope. Because, you know, that the world population was not created by the apple in the tree?
Mm-hmm.
It was not. Do you know what that fruit is?
No.
It's the pear on the ground.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
It's just one example of
okay.
what it is.
And when I'm speaking to people like that, you know, I'll throw something
yeah.
like that into
yeah.
my speech, and everybody will laugh, and then somebody would ask, you know, is that a part of this whole thing? No, I just want to keep you guys awake.
Oh, well, good. Well, good. Well, good. Well, I wanted to tell you, Vernon and Jerry, I appreciated you so much coming on today. We've got about 3 or 4 minutes left. And I just wanted to give you, a little bit of warning about that, and to tell you, say that I'd like to open the floor up to, you know, feel free to talk about, you know, what any important messages you'd like to leave with my audience for today.
Well, one of the most important important things that I would think about is to start reducing the uses of vehicles, electricity, water, you know, moderately.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we need to do. And with respect, I think that will be a good start. Thank you.
Wonderful.
We have now been struggling for 20 years to end the most destructive mining operations in the world, the largest operation, coal mining operation, strip mining.
Mm-hmm.
And it's done by a company, foreign company, Peabody Coal Company. And they've been out here for over 40 years destroying Black Mesa area, which is a cultural landscape to us. It's a depository of our memories. And the coal is used to feed a huge generating stations at in Nevada and here in Arizona. And in Arizona, that power was authorized by United States Congress to deliver water from Colorado River to Phoenix and Tucson using our coal.
Wow.
And and they use huge amounts of water.
Wow.
Pristine fossil water, ice age water.
Wow.
And so we really would like to put an end to that, but we do not have money. We do not have lawyers. We only use prayers and hope that this destructive desecration of our sacred land will end.
Well, why don't I do this? Why don't I give you both another hour a week from today? We'll talk about that during the first hour,
yeah.
And we can talk more about your wonderful wisdom from the Hopi Hopi tribe. All right?
We already have a way that we can generate the necessary energy without using coal. We have.
Okay, great. Well, I if that's okay, I'd love to have you both on a week from today at 2 p.m. Pacific time or 3 p.m. Mountain. And we'll talk about that if you like. I'd love to have you on. I have an opening, and I think that would be the right thing to do.
Okay. Sounds good.
Great, great. We'll be going on to our next guest, Reverend Miriam Handy from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, to talk about John of God and the Ho'oponopono in a few minutes. But we've got go ahead, Vernon. Vernon and Jerry, go ahead and please share a little wisdom, and then we'll go for the break, and we'll welcome you back a week from today.
Well, okay, quickly, together we can. Together we can save the earth, and we can do it in a better way, in a more responsible way. We all need energy. We all understand that.
Sure. Sure.
But it can be done better. We have the mind, we have the hand, and we have the language to work with.
Great.
Right. Yeah. It's like the spindle that I spin. Like, if that spindle gets way off whack, there is no return.
Right.
According to the teachings of the ancestors.
Right.
So with that, we have to be very careful, basically, even with our own steps.
Jerry and Vernon, I'm sorry we've run out of time, my friends, but I'd love to have you on a week from today.
All right. Sounds good.
Okay, my friends, have a beautiful day, and we'll be coming back with Reverend Handy from Florida in just a few minutes. Please stay tuned.